No brag, just fact.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. An earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what cost others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of a Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a many shell over the top of an old and it backed a burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun. It's just a double barrel 12. The stock is cracked and it kicks like hell. It wouldn't mean what it means to me to no one. I can hear his voice when I put it to my shoulder. A gun's like a woman, son, it's all how you hold her. He taught me a whole in the case of bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Uh-oh, here he comes again. Here's Cope with the shooting bench.
I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. 'Cause cowboy, we're both packing guns.
You know what's good for you. Stay tuned for 100% Gun Talk, coming up right now.
44 spoke, and he sent letting smoke. 17 inches of flame. Oh, the big one had never cleared leather. Beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, why can't I remember to get that edited out of there? I'll be darned. Oh, well. Here we are. It's the shooting bench, 11th of June, and it's a Thursday, as always, when we do our mostly gun-related show here. It's things have just gone too far south to promise that it's going to be all gun-related anymore. It just ain't happening. Too much stuff going on. But before I get started here, and before Amy leaves, I want to play something for you here. I found this in the, actually, Amy found it for me. Found it in the garage. We've got this, I told you about the garage sale we got going on. And this has been, I don't even remember when I got it, but it's been a while back. Some while back. And I don't remember where I got it. I remember ordering it online and haven't seen it since. I played it a few times, and I got it back in the 90s. So I want you to listen to this here.
Quietly you've all turned gray. You did your job, you saved our way. Our life and freedom you preserved. We thanked you less than you deserve. You never boasted, bragged, or asked for adulation for your past. You did the job you knew was right, and quietly. Thank you.
shining sea to shining sea. Thank you, thank you, thank you, glowing
bee. All right, there you go. It's called Before You Go, and I don't know if it's available on YouTube or what, but I bought this online. It was there's two discs in it. One of them is to play on computer, and one of them is to play on your car, your CD player, and the other one's a DVD. So you know it was a while back, because now they got them where they'll do one disc will do all of it. But anyway. Good deal. It's got a good video that goes along with it. I wish I could post it for you. It's great. Let me go back to the fire ant thing real quick for a second. If you don't like chemicals and you don't want to mess with diesel and stuff, if you're in a place where that may be frowned upon or whatever, use diatomaceous earth. Diatomaceous earth has an actual fire ant formula. I've got a bunch of it, and you don't have to keep chemicals around. That fire ant formula, regular diatomaceous earth will eventually do it. It doesn't do it very, very quickly, but the fire ant grade will take care of them pretty quick. That's what they used it for. So let me look and see what's going on here. We'll see who all is in the chat room. Let's see. Peanut Rider's talking about packing ammo in 30 caliber cans. And okay, it's difficult when we talk about these classes. Oh. Speaking of 22 ammo, Mountain Shooter said, I had today in our yard sale, I had a bunch of ammo left over from the shop. One of them was a box of 38-40s. And I'd bought those for a guy back a long time ago, probably before we left Farmington. And I just set them out there, had absolutely no expectations of selling them in this yard sale. And some old man come up there today, and he said, I can't find these anywhere. He said, I didn't bring my money with me. He said, would you do some trading? Well, I said, sure. He doesn't know at that moment that I would have traded him for a Tootsie Roll. I mean, I just wanted to get rid of him without, you know, just throwing him away. I didn't know anybody that would do it. So he said, how about some 22 shells? I said, yeah, that'd work. And so we wound up trading two boxes of match grade, rifle match or auto, whatever it is. And so I got 650 rounds of 22s for that box of 38-40s. So that worked out well. I got something I can use now. Actually, I'm not using a whole lot of them. I'm just storing them. But 22 rimfire, hard to find. Katie Brad, I don't know, you said 7.62. I don't know what 7.62 you're talking about. There's lots of 7.62s. If you're talking about 308s, that's not hard to find at all. 7.62 with 39, maybe, I mean, obviously in your area you're having a problem, but it's pretty available at your, you know, your online places and everything. So ammo is going to be right now the things that we had the hardest time getting before, with the exception of 22s, it seems to be pretty available right now. Your 9mm, 223s, 40s, 45s, stuff like that. Not only is it available, it's available at a pretty decent price. It's gone way down. We're just waiting for, now I'm wondering if this when news gets out here of this new legislation that they're trying to push through here, I'm wondering what's going to happen when that gets out, and what's going to happen to ammo prices and everything. So if you're going to get that kind of stuff, guys, I'm going to tell you this, and don't tell me later on that I didn't tell you. Don't say, I'm not going to say I told you so, but yeah, I will too. Yeah, I'm going to say I told you so. The 9mm and 223 and stuff, it don't matter whether you have one or not. That doesn't matter. Just get some while it's available and a pretty darn good price in most places. Just get it. And this whole supply and demand thing will make you a rich person if you have enough of it when the time comes. And I don't believe in that. Everybody griping about price gouging. If people are willing to pay for it, it's not price gouging. If someone else down the road sells it for less, then you're going to have to lower your prices. If everybody else around is selling it for $10, you're not going to sell it for $75. Okay? That's just how capitalism works. So don't gripe about it. Get the stuff now. If you need it, get it now. I saw Amy put some AR-15 magazines and some AK magazines and Glock magazines and stuff on our table out there at the yard sale today, and I promptly picked them all up and go and put them back in the shed, because there's going to come a time that those magazines are again going to be worth $100 a piece. I am selling. I'm taking a bunch of magazines with me up to Washington. But it's ones that I have just purchased. I'm going, just starting over. I'm gonna replace all of those when I get back. And I'm not selling them for $100 when I get up there. Obviously, I'm selling them for what the going price is, but or less. But you need to start thinking about that. Look at your prices of any magazines. Like I said, it don't matter if you have an AR-15 or not. Get some magazines. It's money in the bank, folks. It is money in the bank. You remember in 2012 that Cheaper Than Dirt was the very first ones out there to break $100 for AR-15 magazines. Cheaper Than Dirt was the first, and as far as I know, the only outfit out there that charged $149.59 for a carton of standard velocity, well, the Remington 22 shells. Not match grade, not nothing, just plain old everyday ordinary run-of-the-mill 22 shells, $150. Now, they were doing this at a time when everybody else was high, but not quite that high, but they knew it was coming. And a lot of people didn't like that, but it is what it is. Like Hotshot says, it's the free market. And if you have one little laundry basket full of firewood, and you're out in the middle of the desert somewhere, and it's 30 degrees at night, somebody is going to be willing to pay you whatever you ask for that firewood. Now, the only thing that keeps you from selling it for one of their young daughters is your own conscience. That's the only thing that keeps them going crazy about it. My conscience is fine as long as I stay below what most everybody else is doing. The Tinker, yes, Cheaper Than Dirt is very much still around. They're as strong as they ever were. They got they caught a lot of flack over pulling some AR-15s off the shelf, and it hurt them, but they promptly apologized for it, and I think everybody has forgiven them. And I'm not sure why You know, sometimes they have some good deals on stuff, but they're not ever really great on too much. I mean, they'll have some sales and some deals once in a while, but they're not great. But Eddie Crump, you got six of them. You paid $75 for all six of them. That's about standard. That's about P-Mags, stuff like that. They have been going pretty steadily for, you know, $10.95, $11 in most places out there. But I think, from what I can tell, that seems to be winding down. Cal Ranch and some of these places have had lots of them. Of course, they ordered lots of them, and they had pallets full of them. And they were able to sell them because they bought them at, you know, $5 or whatever they did, $5 or $6. They could still continue to make good money because there is no shortage on them or anything yet. But I think the next ones that come out are probably going to be between $12 and $14. McKady Brad must have been listening to me back there. When Cheaper Than Dirt did that, yeah, we didn't do that. We didn't follow the trend. Yes, we did charge, but let me tell you something about what we have to do. I was not able to buy 9mm at $6.99 and sell them for $11 or $12. There was a time when I was paying. I don't remember what it was. I was paying, you know, $16, $18, $20 a box, and having to charge. And even then, I was so embarrassed by having to charge that much that I didn't make nearly the profit margin that I usually do. And it didn't do me any good. But my customers got ammo. I remember in 2009 when we had that big shortage then. I drove around all over the state. I drove to Albuquerque, and I drove to Chama, and I drove to every place around there that had a gun shop, looking for 380s and 45 Colts and stuff like that. And of course, I had to charge more money for it because I was buying it at retail price. But I had 380s when my customers asked for it. I shipped 380s to Atlanta, Georgia. Because I had them. And that's the way, it's just the way it works. It's one of those things. Eddie Crump, are you saying you got two XD9 magazines for $20 a piece or two of them for $20? If you got two of them for $20, they're not Springfield magazines. I'll tell you that. Unless they're used. I know the guy, when I was in Farmington, you probably used to hear me talk about East Main Trade that was over on the other end of town. I know for a fact that they were going over to Walmart that was right straight across the street from, well, one's almost straight across the street, and buying 9mm and stuff, whatever the going price was there, and bringing them back over and selling them. But Eddie Crump, those magazines are either used or import, or somebody made a mistake. There's no way you bought two XD magazines for $20, unless somebody made a big mistake. Yeah, cheaper than dirt. Jason and I used to call it expensiver than hell all the time. But anyway. So I have gotten a bunch of magazines. For those of you that haven't listened here for the last couple of days, I want to let you know that Southwest Shooting Authority is officially back in business. You can go to southwestshootingauthority.com. I'm going to redo the website now since we managed to salvage our domain name and everything. And I think things will start changing a little bit. It's been pretty tough with the Shooting Bench website. I am going to keep a page on that website dedicated to the shooting bench. And but everything else is going back to SouthwestShootingAuthority.com. I've got to get all the paperwork together and everything and get my stuff sent off for the FFL. I'm waiting on one more form that they are supposed to be sending me. I'm going to get three FFLs. I'm going to get, or at least I'm going to try. Hopefully they'll do it. I'm going to do the manufacturing one so I can, when you do all the things that we do to Glocks and other things, they call that manufacturing because it changes it significantly enough, or at least that one guy did and was started to gig me for it and just made me promise not to do it anymore unless I got the license. And then we're going to do I'm getting one for ammunition manufacturing, although I'm not really excited about getting into that, but I want to have it just in case. And I'm going with the Class 3 stuff. So, and that's all going to be probably 2 months. I'm going to try to get it all sent off before I go to Washington, and it'll be a couple of months after that when that all comes around. But that's what we're going to... I have no aspirations whatsoever, and it's not going to happen. We're going to get as big as we were in Farmington, in Pine Top. And just, I'm not going to do that again. It's going to be the epitome of a mom-and-pop shop here. So, I remember Doc talked last night about doing some light loads. Todd, the show about light loads, I had forgotten all about that. But that is a good idea to learn how to load light loads, and I've done it a lot with probably more in handguns than in rifles. And we'll wait till after the break and talk about that a little bit. But wanted to let everybody know that we are getting back in business and going with the SouthwestShootingAuthority.com and all that stuff, which means that I can now take all of my surplus T-shirts that I had after the... You remember when we put the sign up in 2012? We sold good. God Almighty, I have no earthly idea. Never. I wish I'd kept track of how many T-shirts and caps that we sold after that. But had those T-shirts with, what does it say, has Southwest Shooting Authority and everything on the front, and I believe the back has a 20th century gun shop with 17th century attitude or 1775 attitude, something like that. And I got bunches of those left over. But I'll bet we sold. We had them manufacture or make... probably, what did we do, Amy? 3-4 times? She must not be able to hear me. 3 or 4 different times we had people, these folks make T-shirts for us. And we'd do, 8 or 10 dozen at a time. And we sold the heck out of those things. All right, well, let's take a little break here, and then we'll come back and talk about light loads a little bit. I'm not prepared to do that, but I think I can probably pull enough of it off the top of my head to do a show here. Doc will help me out, I think.
I've got a good woman at home who thinks I'm Lord, she just ain't always around. And you know that's when I fall. I can't help myself at all. And I get whiskey bent, hell bound. Play me some songs about her. I
Figure I'm a real dangerous man.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain. And that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills that is waiting for me there.
All right. We made it back there. I had a little silent spot there. I had heard the dogs going nuts, and I had to jump up and run outside and see if I had to kill something or whatever, and it didn't happen. Katie Brad, I've always sold air guns. I've never pushed them very hard, but I've had air guns in the shop ever since I've been in business, since 2004 or 3 or whatever it was. There is a market for it, and matter of fact, when we were in Farmington, we had an indoor air gun range for a while. We set up a nice 50-foot range there, and we kept it in place for maybe a year, and had a few people come now and then and shoot at it, but it was never got quite the attention that we thought it should have. We had even one girl, a world-class air gun shooter, come over there and practice a little bit. We've got an autographed target that she did there at some point, and I don't know where it's at, but I've always had them, and we'll do it again. There's a few air guns out there. We did a show on air guns here, I don't know, it's been a year or more ago. And air guns kind of goes along a little bit with the light load thing that we're talking about. They're not quiet. They're quieter, than most of your regular firearms. But if you get some of the better ones, I'll tell you what, they shoot well. They're powerful. They're extremely accurate. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised what some of the air guns that I've shot when I was in Europe are possibly the most accurate guns I've ever shot. They're get the right kind and they are remarkably accurate. And they hit pretty hard. I've killed a lot of stuff, a lot of small game and things up to the size of coyotes with air guns. And not a bad idea to keep one around. What I did was I bought one of those that has interchangeable barrels, both 17 and 22 barrel. And I don't even shoot it. I just have it. Because if it gets down to a point where ammunition is unavailable and I don't want to waste it for foraging, you know, for going out and getting a rabbit to eat or even staying in practice, then that I'll always be able to find something that will go in there between the 17s and the 22s. It shoots BBs, it shoots 17 caliber pellets, it shoots 22 caliber pellets. So I'll always be able to find something for it. Eddie Crump, I hope these work out for you well. But you're going to find out, and I saw somebody else put it down here in the chat room somewhere. But, I don't see it now. But anyhow, you'll probably find out there's not too many aftermarket magazines that you can trust. Now, to have one just to train with or something, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, I kind of, and I don't mean to sound, don't mean to start the whole Glock thing over again, but I actually prefer to shoot well-used or aftermarket magazines with the Glock when I'm taking classes and stuff, when I'm out shooting recreationally, hoping that I do get to experience a malfunction without having to simulate it all the time. But regular magazines for your XD, yeah, they're going to be $30 or $35, and that's about what they are for Glocks. But you get what you pay for. Now, I will say that with the Glocks, I don't know how many other outfits, how many other different guns you can get these for. I know that there's some out there for an AR-15. I've got a bunch of them, and they function very well. And that's the magazines from Korea. There is it's called KCI, and they come out of Korea with some magazines that are every bit the equal of factory Glock magazines, but they are one third of the price. Maybe even a little less than a third. So I have no problem with those magazines. I still, in my everyday carry, I still prefer to carry factory magazines. But I don't have any problem. I've never had a single problem with these other ones. And Peanut Riders, yeah, if you have problems with the 1911, it could very well be. There are so many thousand different kind of aftermarket magazines for 1911s. Stay away from ProMag. ProMag is one of the, I've had nothing but problems with ProMag. There's been a couple of them that have done okay, but they've never been great. I wouldn't walk across the street for a whole truckload of ProMags if I had to keep them. But right, magazines right now are kind of like ammo. Prices are pretty reasonable on a lot of them. But looking at light loads, one of the things that I learned, and I wouldn't be surprised what Doc may have figured this out all by himself too at some point in his career. I was in Fort Irwin, California, and I was trying to experiment with some light loads, and I said, hey, you know, I can get some you know, just generic lead bullets and put just a little tiny bit of powder in there, and I can stand up there and shoot all day long, no recoil, hardly any noise, and it ought to be way fun. Well, it was started out to be way fun, but then I realized, you know, I'm 8 or 10 yards away from the target, and I can't hardly keep them on the paper. And I'm thinking all kinds of things. What in the world makes these things so incredibly inaccurate? And over a course of the day, and I probably shot, I don't even know, 300 or 400 or 500 of them over the course of the day trying to figure all this stuff out. And now, Eddie Crump, KCI does not make any that I'm aware of for your XD. But anyway, for the Glocks, they do. I got to realize in there what I would, if I bring the gun up and brought it back down to the target, it was always worse. Now, I wasn't nearly the pistol shot back then that I am now, but I didn't think I was that bad. And I saw then that if I had the muzzle pointing towards the ground and slowly brought it up to the target, that the group sucked right up, tightened up, and got pretty decent. And I said, what the hell? What is causing all that? And it took a long time to figure that out because, you know, I would go up and come back down to the target, and I'd come up from the bottom, you know, different times, and I didn't realize it until I did something 2 or 3 times in a row. So I got to messing with it and realized that every time if I pointed that gun towards the ground, shook it a little bit, and then eased it back up to the target, man, that thing would shoot like a rifle. But if I'd pointed up, it was... No, I'm sorry, I got that backwards. I'm exactly backwards from that. When if I'd point it up and ease it down, that's what it was. It was better. If I'd point it down, which I generally did, and brought it back up to the target, it wouldn't shoot at all. I couldn't barely keep them on the paper. So I got to experimenting with this and looking through some old manuals and stuff. And I found out that you could take and put a little bit of Dacron or Kapok or some kind of a quilt filler of some kind. Just a little tuft of it. Doesn't take very much. And stick it in your casing over the top of the powder and then seat your bullet. Wow. That made a huge difference. What happened is that powder, when you point it down, when the case is almost empty, all that powder runs to the front, and that primer has to shoot that fire all the way to the front of the shell to get it to light. Now, this all happens instantaneously, but it's exceedingly inconsistent. When you point the barrel up and bring it down slowly, most of the powder was still back there towards the rear of the, towards where the primer is. So with that little bit of Kapok in there, or Dacron, some people even use cornmeal. I didn't use that because I was afraid of rough handling of the shells that the powder would eventually get mixed up with the cornmeal and cause things to be just as bad as they were. But and Doc, I was using flake powder. I was using Unique. And it just wouldn't shoot till I put that Dacron in there. And then I want to tell you, it shot like a house fire after that. It'd stack them one on top of the other. It was amazingly accurate once I got that figured out. But there's lots of light load, and lots of good reasons for light loads, not the least of which is they're a little cheaper, a lot cheaper. If you go, like I've been watching the chat room here, there's people using buckshot and whatnot and sub-caliber. Well, I shouldn't say sub-caliber, but, you know, pistol bullets that you can buy in bulk to shoot them in rifles. I've shot, and I continue to shoot 9mm bullets in a revolver, in a 357 Magnum revolver, we managed to get a whole damn big bag of 147 grain hollow points in 9mm, and we loaded those up, and they shoot great. And they're definitely a lot cheaper. Now, I probably, if I was shooting for Olympic grade accuracy or the best performance for a deer gun or something, I wouldn't do that. But for everything else that you do, they shot fine. They shot really well. And you can take, like Doc was saying there, take buckshot or 32 caliber bullets in a 308, or you know, pistol bullet 357 Magnum pistol bullets in some of your 35 caliber rifles and stuff like that, and make some pretty nice light loads. What are the advantages of these besides the cost savings? Well, one is recoil, wear and tear on the gun. They are definitely quieter, significantly quieter. Great for foraging, for practice, for you know, just goofing around, recreational shooting. And it's nice to have that knowledge of what to do with those, because we may be stuck in a time at some point where we have questionable powder and may not have the right size bullets, or may not have bullets at all. We may be using, like I said, buckshot or BBs or you know, whatever the case may be to use. So it'd be nice to have that knowledge now. Like I've told people so many times about experiment, well, I don't want to use that kind of powder, I've always used this other kind. Well, we don't have any right now, so why don't you try something else that we know works, and at least have the knowledge and have it written down in your notebook there, that if worse comes to worse and I can't get my favorite powder, that these two or three or four or five other ones will do the job if that's what I have to do. I understand everybody has their own little pet loads. I do too. But I've tried enough different things that I know that if I go there to the store and they don't have Blue Dot, then I can do, depending on caliber, I can do it with Unique, I can do it with 231, I can do it with, in the case of the 1911, Red Dot, Green Dot, True Blue from... what's that? Ramshot. And you know, it's nice to know that you have these different powders to be in. And rifles, there's a bunch of different ones out there, but you need to know what changes you may have to make. You may not be able to, you may have to start out way below what your standard, don't say, well, this is pretty close to the same thing, so I'll probably be all right, just use the same amount. Don't ever assume that. Sometimes you might be able to get away with it. Sometimes you may want to reduce that charge by, you know, 25% or something, and work your way up. One thing, a couple of powders that you don't want to reduce that can cause that reduction in pressure in amount, reduction in quantity of powder, causes an increase in pressure. Winchester 291 is one of those. What's the equivalent of 291 that Hodgdon makes? I can't think of it right now. Anyway, there's two or three different powders that you definitely don't want to reduce the charge on. Because it can be, and it's, I don't know that anybody's really explained it real well, but it has caused some problems. 296 is one of the most common ones of that. H110 is the other one that I was trying to think of. This also allows you, if you're shooting light loads like that, it allows you to shoot in your basement. Literally in your living room. You know, we used to have some light loads that were, well, they qualified as light loads. You bought, I've still got a bunch of them. You bought plastic shells and plastic bullets, and they were charged only with primers. You just took a little hand punch or an ice pick or something and punched the old primer out, set the new one down on a nice flat surface and take that plastic shell and set it down on there and just push it in and use those plastic, and they shot pretty well. And this allowed me to sit in the living room and shoot, you know, geez, I don't know how many times I loaded those things over and over and over and over and over. And I've still got, I don't know, probably still got a couple hundred of them. And I took a cardboard box and stapled a piece of blanket in there, just hanging in, kind of like a curtain in there. This little cardboard box was probably 2 foot square. Give me a little extra room to do some faster presentations and stuff there. Probably 2 foot square, and I stapled that blanket in there where it was hanging, not where it would, I didn't staple both ends, I just stapled the top of it so it would swing and just hanging in there. And then put the paper targets about 4 inches in front of that. And I think I put probably, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 layers of cardboard in the back of that thing just in case. But that blanket stopped pretty much all of them. And I could sit out there and shoot and shoot and shoot all I wanted to all night long. Didn't matter the weather, didn't matter what how light it was, didn't matter nothing. I'd just practice. And you can do the same thing with these light loads that we're talking about here. Now you have to be a little more careful when you're actually using lead bullets instead of the plastic ones, but you can still easily make a bullet trap and shoot in your basement or your backyard or something like that. They're a lot quieter, and there's a lot of good things about them. What you might want to also be careful of, though, a lot of these light loads do cause, depending on the powder that you use, a lot of these light loads can be pretty dirty. So, you know, check. Don't let you get a bunch of buildup in there, especially in your semi-automatics. Now, your light loads won't function. They won't work the semi-automatics. But I did that with a Browning High Power, and I just racked the slide by hand. And shot. It kind of created some bad habits, which I would never do again. But if you wanted to shoot some light loads in an AR-15 or something like that, just work the action by hand and shoot to your heart's content. All right. Well, I'm getting about to that point where I've had all the fun I can stand. Eddie, I hope those magazines work for you. A lot of the aftermarket ones are pretty scary. Stay away from Pro Mag and you might be all right. There's three or four companies out there that I'm really leery of, but maybe you got some good ones. I hope you did, and I hope you get everything worked out and get your time off and everything where you can come take that class. It'd be a lot of fun. Okay, with all that being said, I am out of here, and we will see you guys tomorrow night for Liberty Lounge and for Living Way Out Here. See you then. Bye-bye.
Calling wind, a soldier of
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chestnut of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the flames men spin. Of the man with the gun.